figure out. Okay, starting. Our story so far. Trying to figure out the major disputes between the Gaonim and Rabbeinu Tam as to the time of night. And we mentioned that this is has many connections to our Gemara and Brachas and Daf Beis, and that any substantial discussion of this topic will somehow invoke Brachas Daf Beis for any of four or five different reasons, different references on that, on both sides of that Daf, that are somehow part of this discussion. There is a lot to say as far as working out some of the details of this Daf, the whole sugya of Biyasar, Biyashamsha, and the Tosfos, and the Gaonim, and all of that. I've chosen not to spend time on that. I'm assuming that's not really what you guys want to do. If you want, I will give you Mar Makomos as to some Svarim that do discuss applying some of the different positions to different sides, different Mandamrim in the Gemara and in the Rishonim. Rosner has a number of interesting tshuvas about it. There's a nice essay about this in the Sefer Zichron Shmuel, or Shmuel Rosalsky's Torahs. And the Gra himself spent some time dealing with that. So if anybody wants a more extensive reference list, please feel free to let me know, and I will pass it on. One thing I will mention, just on that note, is yesterday we did emphasize at the beginning that it's not necessarily a given that all, for all purposes, Laila will be the same. That even if we establish Laila for meaning one thing, different areas of halacha mean different things. Just one example that now you'll understand a little better than you know Rabbeinu Tam. So the halacha that dam is nifsal b'shkiyas achama din kashim, so the shita Rabbeinu Tam min zvachim, is that that's true after the first shkiyah, according to Rabbeinu Tam. When according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's yom gomer. Nonetheless, he recognizes that other areas in the Torah, so these halachas can have different markings. And just one interesting point that Rav Osner discusses in the Tshuva, that there is a whole discussion in the Shitas HaRambam in the din of the Kohanim eating Truma. We know that our Mishnah brings in the time of the Kohanim eating Truma as the model for Kriya Shema time, and the Gemara asks, why did they do that? Why don't we just say the Seisa Kochavim is Kriya Shema time, and why bother bringing in Kohanim eating Truma? And the Gemara says, well, they want to teach us some more stuff. So you look at the Rambam, you see that the Rambam understands the din that there's a special halacha in eating Truma that it's only after Tzeis. And this is not because before Tzeis is a Suffolk Laila, and therefore it's a Suffolk if that's a time for Truma. No, that Me'ikar HaDin, that the din of Truma only starts at Tzeis. So therefore, Ben HaShmashos, at least according to the Rambam, is no good for Truma, not on a Suffolk level, not on any level. Now, working off of that, so Rav Osner makes an interesting point as far as the relationship between Truma and Kriya Shema. We already emphasized yesterday that Kriya Shema very easily could be working off a different standard because of Shchima and Kima and not night and day. So Rav Osner mentions the following kasha, that later on Daf Chaf Aleph, God willing, we should see it. So the Gemara has a machlokis, which we alluded to in earlier discussions, about whether Kriya Shema is Daraisa Drabanan. We talked in our first discussion about what exactly is the position of Kriya Shema Drabanan. But the context of the machlokis in the Gemara is whether Sfeik or Lahachmer. If you have a suffix, whether or not you write Kriya Shema, so do you have to say it again? So do we say it's Daraisa and you do have to say it again, or do we say it's Drabanan, you don't have to say it again? Now, you could bring a Beferish Araya against that position, because we know from our Gemara here that somebody who reads Kriya Shema before it says Kochavim is not Yosef. So why don't we say, well, before Seis HaKochavim is Ben HaShmashos, and Ben HaShmashos is the Safek time, so somebody who reads Kriya Shema then should be the same as somebody who Safek read, Safek didn't read. So the same question of Safek and Sfeik Olachmer or Sfeik Olakula should be applied, at least B'diev, to somebody who read Kriya Shema before Seis HaKochavim. So Rav Osner says, no, that's where you see the paralleling between Truma and Kriya Shema, that just as when it comes to Truma, there's a special din, it's from Seisa Kochavim and no earlier, and therefore even Misafik, we wouldn't say it's possible to eat Truma before, during Ben HaShemashas. So too, Kriya Shema, which is working off Shechiva, has the same din, that it's not like other areas in the Torah where you might call Ben HaShemashas a Safik time, but as far as Kriya Shema is concerned, before it says is no good, and it's not even a Safik. fine. That's all as far as the status of Ben Hashmashos itself. And we saw yesterday that Ben Hashmashos has this inherent Safek status, but even figuring out when Ben Hashmashos is, so for that purpose we have a Safek. Because we don't know whether it's the Gaonim's opinion or Ben Hatam's opinion that is dominant, and the Safek is spurred on by the Stira and the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda is presented in the Gemara in Shabbos as telling us that the difference between Shkia and nighttime is 3/4 mil, and in Psachim he says that it's 4 mil, a very big difference. If we assume, as we've been doing till now, and it's not going to last much longer, but if we assume that a mil is 18 minutes, so then we're talking about a difference between 13 and a half minutes in the first version to 72 minutes. So there were a number of ways to reconcile the Stira, that according to the Gaonim, by which we mean both with High Gaon and the Vilna Gaon, so it's only the 3/4 mil standard that's relevant, it's only the 13 and a half minutes relevant, and the 72 minutes is not relevant. According to the earlier Gaonim, it's not relevant just because it's not true l'halacha. And according to the Vilna Gaon, it's not relevant because it's true, but not l'halacha. It's true that the stars come out then, but l'halacha, night is defined by 3 average stars, not by all the stars coming out. So the 72 minutes is what you need for all the stars for night to really hit its maxed out point. That's when that's what happens after 4 mil. But earlier than that, you have 3 stars. So whichever answer you take, whatever it is, it's that we're not worried about the 4 mil standard. We're only worried about the 3/4 mil standard. So therefore, according to the Gra and the earlier Gaonim, so first you have Shkia, and then 13 and a half minutes later you have Tesa Kochavim, and in between that is Bein Hashmashos. According to Rabbeinu Tam, however, he has a very different approach, and he takes both the 3/4 mil and the 4 mil standard into account, and says there's 2 Shkias. There's the Tchila Shkia, which we've been understanding as when the sun is down, but it's just at the top of the horizon, so the rays are still there. Then there's Sof Shkia, when the rays are gone. And then the stars come out. So between those 3 stages, you have stage 1. Then 72 minutes later, 4 mil later, you have stage 3. And stage 2 comes in pretty late in the game, 58 and a half minutes in, 3 1/4 mil in, leaving the 3/4 mil between stage 2 and stage 3. And Bein Hashmashos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't start until stage 2. And all of stage 1, that whole long 58 and a half minutes, that's all Vad Hayom. Okay, any questions? This is all the stuff we discussed yesterday. So, and then we discussed a little bit from the Lumdus the question of what's behind these opinions. We mentioned the Rav Shir and the Shir Mosaic Rabbi Mori, that there it could be the question of whether night and day are defined by the presence of the sun, as apparently is the opinion of the Gra, that when the sun goes down, it's now nighttime. Or is night and day defined by the presence of light, and therefore the Rabbeinu Tam is waiting until the light is completely gone. And this may differ for different halachas, and that may contribute to the status of Ben Hashmashos as a Safek, because not that we don't know what it is, but we know that it contains different elements, and it affects the day differently depending on what the status is, depending on what the koveya is, and different halachas are going to relate differently to different elements. So therefore, we have a safek in this time because we don't know which indicator is dominant for the relevant halacha. So especially in Shabbos, where Shabbos is patterned after Sheish Mei Breishis, and we find different makoris indicating differently whether it's light that is dominant or the sun that is dominant. So therefore, especially in relation to Shabbos, for example, we have a safek as to how to relate to Bein Hashmashos, and that's how the Gemara tells us that Bein Hashmashos is a suffix zone because of this. And we then went a little bit into the chush issues that we mentioned, that the Gra, the strength of the Gra's argument against Rabbeinu Tam has a lot to do with the chush machish factor, that you look out your window and you see that he's wrong. Now we discussed also that the Gra also has chush working against him, and we discussed how to approach both chush issues. It seems to be that part of why the Gra has such a score so many points off his chush perspective is it's a lot more jarring than his chush problems. That to say that when it's dusky outside,
it's nighttime, even though it's not totally dark yet, that would be the chush issue against the gra, so that's a little bit at odds with what you see. But to tell you that it's Friday afternoon and you can be driving when it's pitch black, there is a much greater chush issue. That's much more jarring. So while they both have their chush problems, so the chush argument against Rabbeinu Tam is more significant than the chush argument against the gra. And as we mentioned yesterday, Rabbi Shechter has invoked this chush argument strongly when arguing on behalf of the gra perspective. So in any case, so then we discussed a little bit about working on this chush perspective. So first we tried to answer up the issue of the gra, that it's not really true either that after 13 and a half minutes after Shkia, it's already dark. So that there's the chush issue against the gra. So part of it, the gra himself was aware of, and the gra himself addressed. And the gra said that, first of all, this doesn't apply the whole world over. It only applies in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, that point along the latitude. And latitude is one that goes across, right? Yeah. Right, so that point to go to that latitude, and during that time of the year. But if it's a different time of year, so then, or a different place in the world, so then the numbers are going to be bigger. But still, it doesn't work out perfectly, and tests indicated that in Yerushalayim it took, say, 22 minutes in Nisan to get to darkness. So then we mentioned two approaches to that. One, an approach that Rabbi Chaim Lechel Tikashinsky that distinguished between the end of Ben Hashmashos and Seisa Kochavim, but that's a little more difficult according to the Gra. So we mentioned another opinion that from Rabbi Yehuda Levi, that the difference has to do with whether you're an expert or not. That an untrained eye will see stars in Yerushalayim, let's say, really over 22 minutes after Shkia. But somebody who knows what to look for will see them 15 minutes after Shkia. And that 15 minutes is close enough to the 13 and a half minutes and that causes problems. Right, so that's something that Rabbi Willig mentions also, and we are now at the stage of the discussion again where I give much hakaras hatov to Rabbi Willig, because now much of the details, now working out some of what we have left to figure out, a lot of it, a lot of this is treated by Rabbi Willig, and hakaras hatov to him. So one of the things he does mention is that you can't do these tests in the city, right? Because the city has pollution and too much artificial light. So between the two of them, you're not going to get a clear picture. You can't do anything in a city at night for sure because you have too many streetlights. It's not going to show you anything. And even without the streetlights, the pollution in the air gives you a messed up picture. So you have to go to Kamar Shah. You have to go to, that's what he writes. You have to go to the studies that were done in the suburbs and in the summer camps. Yeah, they were able to ascertain the exact numbers. So you can't do it in the city. You have to go somewhere where there's no artificial light and there isn't so much pollution that's going to mess things up. But then it basically comes down to re-assigning to looking outside and seeing when it really gets dark, and that's where a lot of the numbers get developed.
How does the shape of the horizon affect this whole issue?
I have no idea.
For those of us who are in Palm Springs, you said there's a machlokus between the Chabad shul and the other shul there on what time candlelighting is.
When you say shape of the mountains, shape of the horizon because of the mountains?
Right.
I don't know.
Right, so Chabad does not go by the mountain. So we say, like, if the mountain wasn't there, it was flat, so that's when Shkia would be, so it's much later. And the other shul goes by, and the sun goes over the mountain.
There's a holes in Hanok about that.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes a difference about 20 minutes, I think. So
it's a big difference.
I remember speaking to a previous man, Rabbi Nachman, and he said that generally everyone assumes that you're based on sea level. You don't take into account.
They're taking into account the mountains.
Right, you don't count the mountains from top to the bottom. I think there are some there said that are choshesh for that, and they. I think they're possibly even cooler.
Okay, that's good. Look into it.
So Chabad and
okay, take a look. Okay, so now what about Rabbeinu Tam's chush arguments? Now, again, that's very significant. And this has been a lot of the motivation to disagree with him, that you look outside the window, you see it's not true. So, first of all, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and the Chofetz Chaim and the Bir Halacha assume that in the case where the chush was machish, so the chush wins. That even Rabbeinu Tam would agree that, as we said yesterday, if he was driving Friday afternoon and he saw it was pitch black, he would pull over as well. Right, that when the chush tells you that it's dark, it is dark. So that's a large element of just dealing with it in a practical level. How does this match with the Gemara? So nicely, the 72 minutes have to mean something. So what does it mean? So it is suggested in Svarim that here by Willa quotes from the Oros Chaim of the Grach Druk, that maybe when we say three stars, we don't mean three stars anywhere, but the three stars Davka have to be in the westernmost point of the horizon, the westernmost edge, where the sun is going down. And of course it's going to take the longest to get there because that's where the most light coming from, because the sun is over there. So you can see three stars somewhere else, but by the western end you're not going to necessarily see them because there's too much light over there. So this has what to be said for it, because first of all, that would work better. It is possible that that's how long it takes for there to get three stars there, so that could make sense on a Gemara level. And also, since that's where the Gemara has the whole din that you saw in the Mar Makomos about Pnei Mariv and Pnei Mizrach and Pnei Mariv, and when it's red over there and it's black over here and when it's covered over there. So since we are looking towards the west, so there is what to be said for a theory that would say that the stars have to be seen there as well. And then there is a lengthy din to figure out whether or not that's really the case, whether it's the west or the east that we're looking at. And if you want to see the details of that, so I would recommend looking inside here in the Amor Rechei, in Simon Beis and Os Beis. But that's the gist of the theory to maybe explain to Rabbeinu Tam, that he was looking for his stars over there. And the Nachanami, in the cases where that's how the Gemara is going to work, that's where he's going to have to interpret the Gemara. And when the Chush is Machish, so again, the Chush is a pretty good Chush for things. Yes? Right, so then it could be again the Rabbeinu Tam himself maybe would say that.
Would say that
that's where the stars have to be, you know, in the far west. That maybe it's not really landing. Right, which would maybe not have to that, but that's really said to try to figure out how his shita is viable with the words of the Gemara. Practically speaking, I don't know if that's going to affect us so much. And it could be the Rabbeinu Tam himself maybe would say that that's how he explains the Gemara, but again, that may have very little practical value for us. Now there is another major machlokas in Zmanim, which is tied into this, right? And definitely, as much as rushing around Friday afternoon has an impact on our daily lives, so getting up in the morning also has an impact on our daily lives. And Sof Zman Kriyashma is, as we know, totally the machlokas as well. And this machlokas is related. Right? Basically, there is a machlokas, at least what we're going to see here is related. There is a machlokas aposkim, how do you count the hours of the day? We know that tefillah and kriyashma are established by counting the hours of the day, because sofsma and kriyashma is 3 hours into the day, 3/12, 1/4 of the day. And sofsma and tefillah is 4 hours, 1/3 of the day. So where are we starting the day and where are we ending it? We have to know where we're starting and where we end it in order to count. So that is machlokas. The shita of the gra, in our Chaim Tufman test, and hey, is that you count from Neitzachama until Shkia. Right? Those are basically parallel events. Right? The first you have Alos HaShachar when the first light comes up, and then when the sun rises, that's Neitzachama. But Simon once pointed out that the phrase is not really Neitzachama, it's Hey Neitzachama, and that the Nafkamina is, as Rabbi Simon pointed out, that if you want to look up the topic in the Encyclopedia Talmudus, so if you look on it, if the proper phrase is Heinetzachama, so there'll be an entry on it. If it's Neitzachama, they won't be up to it yet. But whatever it is, so when the sun comes up, so that's Heinetzachama. So, or Neitzachama in more casual parlance. So from that time until, according to the Gra, from that time until Shkia, which are two parallel events, sun coming up, sun going down, that's the day. So the 12 hours that we're counting in order to establish Shozmanis, in order to establish halachic hours, are between those parameters. Now, the opinion of Tosus, which is what is cited by the famous Magen Avraham,
is that we start from Alos HaShachar. I was considering putting this on the Maamar Makomos, but it was just one line. I was going to add it today, so I figured we'd just look at it together. If you look on Gimel Amud Aleph, so there's a Tosfos Dibur Maschil Laman, so third Tosfos on the page. And the Gemara is talking about different indicators of different external indicators of what time is. And the Gemara asks, why do you need it? And it's talking about a guy who is sleeping in a dark house and he's not going to see the light. And he wants to know when to say Kriya Shema. So Tosfos, in interpreting this, again, just look at this one line, says, V'yesh lo'imar mikol makom kevin shiyatla imata yad amud ha-shachar. So if he knows what time the amud ha-shachar is, so then he can figure out things. So apparently, when does the day start? From Amud HaShachar. And the Magen Avraham, which again also very short, if you take a look, it's in Siman Nun Ches, in the beginning of Siman Nun Ches in Aruch Chaim. So the Magen Avraham understands Alos HaShachar to be the beginning of counting. And he cites this Tosfos. So this position is that if you assume the day starts from Alos HaShachar until Seis HaKochavim, so you get very different times. Right, because the hours are going to be longer, but they're going to start a lot earlier. Hi. Well, that's what we're going to discuss a little bit, how you would come to these times. Sorry, Nunches, yeah. So there is also Machlokas, just before we go further on this point, there is Machlokas also when Plag HaMincha is. That according to the Gra, the definition of Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. Which, you know, let's say 6 to 6 days, so we're talking 4:45. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, working within his own definition of Tzeis HaKochavim, it's going to be an hour and a quarter before Tzeis HaKochavim, which is a sixth of a mil, as the Rishonim spell out, the other Rishonim in the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam spell out, it's a sixth of a mil before Shkia. Hi. Based on this, not necessarily from this Tosfos, the way we're showing him quote the Rebbeinu Tam, that he understands that it's going to be an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. So according to the Gra, the end of the day, they were talking about a Shkia, so it's an hour and a quarter then. But if you say they were counting until Tzeis HaKochavim, so then it's an hour and a quarter before that, and which, as the Rishonim spell out, is basically very close to Shkia, 1/6 of a mil. Rabbeinu Tam, it's going to come out that Rabbeinu Tam is like the Magen Avraham, yeah. That's the position that we're talking about. Some of it's more explicit, some of it's less explicit, but that's how it's going to work out. So here, Rabbi Willi goes on to explain. Yes, that basically you have Plag HaMincha an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. So according to the Gra, the end of the day is Shkia. So let's say the sun sets at 6. So Plag is 4:45. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's an hour and a quarter before Tzeis, which, as the Rishonim spell out, is 1/6 of a mil. So let's say, again, working within our numbers till now, 3 minutes before Shkia. So Tzeis could be on the 6th to 6th day when Nates till Shkia is 6 to 6. So Seis HaKochavim, Rabbeinu Tam Seis HaKochavim will be 7:12, and Plag HaMincha will be right before Shkia, 5:57. I think that was up first.
Does Chatzos come out the same?
Chatzos come out the same, not necessarily, but Chatzos affects. I mean, it may come out the same. Actually, it should come out roughly the same, but it affects how we get to this point. As a little bit, we'll explain it in a moment. Hi.
How can it be a 6 mil before Shkia? Shkia according to the beginning Shkia from...
According to the beginning Shkia, yeah.
Beginning Shkia is 72 minutes, no?
Right.
It's an hour and a quarter.
So 1/6 of a mil is 3 minutes, if we say it's 18 minutes. Right, so it's 3 minutes before Shkia. 75 minutes before Shkia. Yeah, that's Rabbeinu Tam. The first Cheshbon had a difference of 4:45. So... this seems to be, again, L'shitasa, that both Misvara and from Chazal as well,
It makes sense to say that Chatzos, as I was asking, Chatzos is the middle of the day when the sun is right in the middle. So therefore, the beginning and the ends are going to have some type of parallelism. So, according to the Gra, to say that the day goes till Tseis HaKochavim wouldn't make sense, because there's no parallel for Shachars. Because Netzach Amah and Alos HaShachar are definitely separated by like a 4 mil type of distance. So to say that we go beyond Shkia to Tseis, and that's when the day ends, according to the Gra, is not going to have a parallel on the first half. You're not going to be able to divide the day of Chatzos and have some significant starting time. So he's not going to use his Tseis. And he's not going to use Rabbeinu Tam's Tseis either, because he doesn't believe in Rabbeinu Tam's Tseis. So therefore, Bal Karchach, it's going to be Shkia. And it's going to then therefore start, the parallel of Shkia is Nates. So according to the Gra, makes sense. And even if you want to say that everyone agrees that Alos HaShachar is really the beginning of the day, nonetheless, for the purposes of figuring out these Shiurim, so he's going to start counting from Nates, again, in order to have this parallelism. Now here it's worth filling in something that the Rav explains in the Shiurim Zecher Rav Mori, that this extends from a point that we mentioned yesterday, that you could say that on some level the day starts at Alos, the day starts when there's some presence of light. That's only worthwhile as far as establishing the day as being the day. But if we need to use any quantitative measure, if we need to create a shear out of the day, so we need something that's measurable. And the sun coming up, the sun going down is measurable. The presence or absence of light is not measurable because it happens as a much more ephemeral process. At first there's a little bit of light, and there's more light, and there's more light. We can't establish when that starts and when that ends. So therefore, when we're talking about shiurim are going to more logically flow out of alos, out of nates and shkia, because of their lending themselves to quantifiability. So even if the Gra would acknowledge for whatever purposes alos hashachar is the beginning of the day, nonetheless, it still makes sense for him to count hours from Neitz HaChama. However, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it works better to count from Ma'os. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's this 4 mil gap between Shkia and Seis, and that does parallel the gap between Alos and Neitz. So therefore, he can start counting from Alos and go to his Shkia, and then you have a parallel unit, you have a structure that works parallel, and you can divide in the middle of Chatzos. And since he believes that these are the Kovim of Yom and Laila, so it makes sense for him to use those times. It's both possible and logical for him to use those times. So therefore, basically, it emerges that this machlokus is to how do we count the day? Do we count the day from Alos to Tseis, or from Neitz to Shkia, is basically Shitasim in defining the whole Shkia Ben Hashmarsh's question. Sorry? He could have, but since there's a Mila to these times anyway, because they are the Kovim, at least according to him, and probably according to others also, as we alluded to, Alos HaShachar has a strong argument for daytime according to everybody. But according to the Gra, it's not going to work because it doesn't parallel anything for him, because he doesn't recognize Rabbeinu Tam's Seis, and his own Seis is not going to parallel anything. So he can't use it for that. And with the Rav's explanation that it's more, lends itself more to Shiurim, so fine, he's going to be tilted towards Nates and Shkia. But there is an argument for Alos also, because that's when the day starts. So since Rabbeinu Tam can use Alos, because it parallels his Seis, so he's going to be pushed in that direction.
So even if Rav wouldn't have a problem with the Gra days, and days, it seems to indicate that the day starts for us.
Right. I think the Gra probably agrees that on some level the day starts for us. But as far as being able to quantify something, so we have to count from Nates. Right. There are a lot of indications that the day starts at Alos, and it's probably the case. But in the end, it's something the Rav goes through. That nonetheless, as far as the cheshbening of shiurim. And the Rav goes through a little bit more the different differences that exist between shacharis and maariv. But if, at least for this purpose, for cheshbening shiurim, it makes sense to start from Nates while acknowledging that Alos has a special status at the beginning of the day. Okay, so now moving on for a second to the mill question. So we've been saying the whole time that a mill is 18 minutes. But that is not at all clear. And that this affects all of this discussion, of course. And this seems to also be a dispute. Because the way we get to 18 minutes for the mill is based on the Gemara in Pesachim, on Sadi Dala, the same Gemara, which states that there are 40 mil in a day. So you could take the day and divide it by 40 and get a mil. Now, if you're going to say that the day starts from Nates until Shkia, and that's 12 hours, so which is 720 minutes, so then it comes out that 1/40th of the day is, I'm going to do it quickly, 18 minutes. So that's very good. However, if you're going to say that we want to count this from Alos HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim, so then we have 4 mil on either side, because the assumption that that there are 4 mil between Alos and Nates, and there are 4 mil between, in Rebbeinu Tam's 4 mil between Shkia and Tzeis, so then if you subtract those 8, the 4 on either side, from our 40 unit, so we're left with 32 mil to be divided up between those 12 hours. And then, if you divide 32 hours by, if you divide 12 hours by 32, then it comes out that a mil is 22 and a half minutes. So basically, if you want to just use the, if you want to just use the Nates Alos, so the Nates Shkia day, then a mil is going to be 18 minutes. But if you're going to take a Rabbeinu Tam day, so then it comes out to be 22 and a half minutes. So that's going to definitely set things off. And this continues to be a machlokas ad hayom hazeh, figuring out how long a mil is. And Rabbi Willer quotes here that in the Oris Chaim that he mentioned before, he says everyone holds a mil is 18 minutes. And in the Sefer Zman HaYom B'Halacha, that's the Levi Sefer, he comes out that it's 22 and a half minutes. And he assumes that this also... And Rabbi Willig assumes this also therefore boils down to Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra, that if you want to count the day from Nates to Shkia, then it's going to be 20. This is going to be 18 minutes. And if you want to count from Alos until Tzeis, Rabbeinu Tam Tzeis, then it's going to come out to 22 and a half minutes.
How about minutes?
Sorry, how minutes? We'll go assume we're 60 seconds.
Hours.
Yeah, hours change.
Yes.
Right, but minutes don't change.
This is all assuming our day is not yet.
This is all assuming that minutes don't change? Why is it assuming that?
Like we were talking about, if there were 40 mil
during... Oh, right, counting the mil, dividing the mil is the equinox, right? But then still... Yeah, it's working to the basic assumption of how to figure out the original mil is within the equinox. But still, on a non-equinox day, we could still use the same amount of minutes, depending on... Right. Yeah. That Gemara is assuming we're talking about a standard day, right?
This is the Gemara bringing from Lot, and wasn't Lot in Pesach time?
That's good.
That was Mamash Rekha,
that's Nisan.
Right,
that's good. Okay. Sorry?
That is correct. That's on.
Okay. Now, in the Oros Chaim, who says that everyone holds 18 minutes, so it just works out well, because if you're going to say it's 18 minutes, then according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Shkia is 72 minutes before Tzeis, and Plag HaMincha is 3 minutes before Shkia, so then it comes out that Shkia, that Plag HaMincha is 75 minutes, is 75 minutes before Tzeis. And therefore, all that cheshbon works. So he uses this, the Oros Chaim uses this to support the 18-minute definition, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. However, Rabbi Willig points out that it's not going to work so well. He says like this, that if you're going to say that in the days of Nisan, when Netzach Hamah is 6 and Shkia is 6, right? So according to the Oros Chaim saying in Rebbeinu Tam, so Tzeis is 7:12, right? 72 minutes after the Shkia. And so Plag HaMincha, 3 minutes before the Shkia, is 5:57. However, if you keep this up, then it gets that Mincha Ketana is 4:42. And Mincha Gedola is 12:30. And that's a difference of 4 hours and 12 minutes between Chatzos, between Mincha Gedola and Mincha Ketana. And the Gemara says in Brachas there's only 3 hours difference. So there it's going to break down. However, if you say it's 22 and a half minutes, then it's going to work out. And he does all the math here, and you can feel free to take a look and read the math yourself. Okay, so basically, the way he comes out is trying to prove that, and again, if you want to look at the math, that it comes out that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say that a meal is 22 and a half minutes. Now, how does all this affect us? So it affects us if somebody wants to be machmir for Rabbeinu Tam, and you want to wait 4 mil, so 4 times 22 and a half minutes is 90 minutes. So that means really waiting until Rabbeinu Tam's man is 90 minutes long. Which is quite a chumrah, especially because it's only 90 minutes long in Nisan and in Yerushalayim. And as Rabbi Willig points out here, so in New York, it's 100 minutes in Nisan, 110 minutes in the winter, and in the summer it is a whopping 144 minutes. That is quite a chumrah. Yes, especially because you're starting Shkia pretty late in the summer anyway. Sorry? That's after 11. So let's assume again, since he's assuming New York time. Right, since he's assuming New York time, so let's to go on New York time for this. Right, this week in New York, Shkia is 8:19 in the summer. So if it's 144 minutes, it means you have to bring out Shabbos at 10:45. Right, that's quite a chumrah. Now here, pause for a second with Rabbi Willig. I'd like to discuss the difference in perspective between Rabbi Willig and Moshe Feinstein. And Willig mentions Ramosha's position, but I want to just come at it more from first discussing Ramosha, how he explains himself, and then how Willig agrees or disagrees. So Ramosha's position is basically as follows. And this is in the Chubas and Igros Moshe, and Arachayim and Chilak Dalet and Simon Samach Beis. Ramosha basically says like this, that it's kedai to worry about Rabbeinu Tam's man. Machlokes Rishonim, and it's in Nogeya to Nisus Skila, and that's a big deal. And as we mentioned yesterday, so the power of Rabbeinu Tam's man is not something to be sneezed at, because first of all, many Rishonim seem to be behind Rabbeinu Tam. We call it Rabbeinu Tam, but it really could be called the position of Rav Rishonim. And for that reason, it's not something to sneeze at. And so dealing with something like Shabbos, the Ramosha does recommend holding Rabbeinu Tam's man, but he understands Rabbeinu Tam's man l'shitasa, which means that when the Chush tells you that it's really dark, so according to him, even Rabbeinu Tam would agree. So the way Rabbi Moshe writes, and again, LA people forgive me, he's writing from New York City, as was Rabbi Willig, that he says it's 50 minutes after the Shkia. Now, again, after apologizing to the LA people, he says that he's heard that this is true about most cities in America. I don't know how it relates to LA, but that's where Ramosh writes in the Shuvah, that he heard about most cities in America. That's roughly true. That roughly speaking, 50 minutes after the Shkia is when it's really dark. So I don't think he specifies how that varies from year to year. I have to look again, but as far as I recall, he seems to give it as a pretty general rule that it's about 50 minutes. Right, it should vary from time of year, but I don't have that information. So roughly speaking, it's about 50 minutes from Shkia. That's when the day is over, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So when he recommends, assuming, let's say, Motzi Shabbos based on Rabbeinu Tam, he's talking about 50 minutes. Now then, he does say, however,
you know, or Yirei Shemayim, and people who want to be Machmir. So it's kedai to take the more conventional understanding of Rabbeinu Tamzman of 72 minutes and be Machmir for 72 minutes. Now, let's pause Rav Moshe for a second and go back to Rav Willig and come back to this point. Now, Rav Willig says about those who wait 72 minutes, that says basically those people who are going to wait 72 minutes, seems like this is according to nobody. Because we basically established that 72 minutes is assuming 4 mil of 18 minutes. But the reason you wait 4 mil is because of Rabbeinu Tam. And it seems likely that Rabbeinu Tam doesn't acknowledge an 18-minute mil, but rather a 22.5-minute mil. So therefore, if you want to be like Rabbeinu Tam, if you want to wait 4 mil, it's because you want to follow Rabbeinu Tam. If you want to follow Rabbeinu Tam, you should wait 90 minutes. So that's going to come out to 90 minutes in Yerushalayim, or 100 minutes in New York, and 110 minutes, 144 minutes in the summer. And he says, Lamaisa, nobody does this. So therefore, this is a raya against Rabbeinu Tam. It's a raya just that Klal Yisrael has rejected Rabbeinu Tam. But basically, Klal Yisrael follows the Gra, and there's nobody out there who's really following Rabbeinu Tam. Now, back to Rav Moshe for a second. Rav Moshe knew that the 72 minutes wasn't necessarily really reflecting anything. But Rav Moshe writes, pretty much beferish, that he's only suggesting his 72 minutes l'chumra. Because really, he thinks, Meikar Adin, that Rabbeinu Tam's mind is going to be about 50 minutes. He's saying, but if you want to be machmir, so then do 72 minutes. You know, you want to be Yirei Shemayim and be machmir, so do 72 minutes. But even though the 72 minutes is not going to be totally logical working out all the Lushitasos, it doesn't matter because he doesn't hold Meikar Adin anyway. So basically, just to clarify again here, by Willig is saying 72 minutes makes no sense because it's not according to anybody. And Rav Moshe recommends 72 minutes, but he knows it's not according to anybody, but he's only recommending it l'chumra on top of the 50 minutes, which he says make your head in. So therefore, that's why he's not worried that it's not according to anybody. So he's saying, because since there's a minig, people have accepted upon themselves 72 minutes, like Rabbeinu Tam, the fact that it that if I work out all the little shitasos, it's going to not come out to be 72 minutes, doesn't necessarily matter. Because the mice, it's not always such a problem. I can really, in theory, split shitas. You know, I could say that I hold a mil is 18 minutes, and I hold that this kedai weighed 4 mil. So the fact that Rabbeinu Tam may not have held both positions doesn't really have to bother me. It's just if I really want to be consistent and say, because of Rabbeinu Tam, I'm waiting, and therefore I should weigh his mil, you know, maybe in theory that makes sense, but Rashi says, since I'm telling you to be machmir beyond the 50 minutes, to be machmir l'chumra, so it's not kedai to be to have to necessarily go beyond 72 minutes. I don't know who's up first. We'll go from right to left. My right.
You said that Merov Rishonim agrees with Rabbeinu Tam about the 4 mil, but the Merov Rishonim agrees with his size of that.
Well, according to you have to figure it out. We don't have so much evidence from Rishonim Bechlal. Rishonim, for the most part, aren't stating one thing or another. So all of this is figured out based on...
Maybe the Rishonim will do it 4 mil, but maybe they hold it.
We have no way of knowing. And if we assume the way Rabbi Willig assumed, that it's basically a series of shitasos, it's going to come out not that way. But we don't have real evidence one way or another.
What is our 45 minutes?42, 45.
I mean, a lot of these numbers come from looking in the sky and looking in the various cities.
Right.
So, Rav Moshe also acknowledges a shorter shear
right.
based on looking in the stars. He talks about 41 minutes.
41.
Yeah. But, it's all going to vary from city to city.
If there really isn't anyone today, Upasim's like Gaonim.
Upasim's like what?
Gaonim.
Upasim's like the Gaonim. Well, according to... No, so according to Rabbi Willig, and I think the way Rabbi Shachter was saying also, at least in that isolated dinner Friday afternoon, he's saying that really, basically, the Gaonim is the accepted position. The Gaonim and the Gaonim are the same thing.
Right.
That's the accepted position, really.
But not 13.5.
Not 13.5, because even the Gro wouldn't say 13.5. The Gro would say that 13.5 is how long it takes for the stars to come out in Yerushalayim, and that's going to vary from city to city. But even the Gro Shitasa would tell you that in New York City in the summer, it's going to be something different. So it's not that's not against him.
The Rove said that the 42 minutes is historically just the compromise between the Satmar, who were very machmer and keeping a bit of time, and everybody else in America back when they came.
So it averaged out?
Averaged out.
Okay. Shkaif. Interesting. Okay, so basically this fact that, as Rabbi Willig is trying to say, that the Gra has won,
Right, the fact that the minute Klal Yisrael is not to wait 144 minutes, nobody does this. So therefore, that shows you that the Gemara's opinion is really dominant. So this has a nafkamina l'chomer, as we'll discuss in a second. Hi.
Can you comment somewhere in the world that the time you would see the stars would be either made at 72 minutes?
Probably. Same in Alaska. Yeah, in Alaska, it's Messias. Yeah, I don't know. It's a big shaila how to deal with this situation, like, because in places in Alaska you don't have darkness for days or weeks. Sorry? That's what many posts say. It's too big a shaila to go there. It's mine, at least for Shabbos.
Space,
yeah.
Space.
Sorry? Say it again? Right, you have that in Scotland also, but that, you know, that you can deal with. Mutsi Shabbat, at least, you know, the fact it's inconvenient is one thing, but if it's beyond definition, then that's when we get into... I think in the summer in Glasgow, for example, Mutsi Shabbat is regularly midnight.
Yeah.
What's wrong with 141 minutes? Like, why is that a riot that
can't be that way? No, it's a riot at Klal Yisrael that nobody's doing the rain of time. Nobody's doing the rain of time, so Klal Yisrael clearly passing the grub. There's nobody in all the film circles in the world, nobody's following
the same.
We've already established that the Gra had an influence on Psak to a very large degree. You know, the question is, did the Gra really influence most people, but some people are still machmer for Ben Tam? Or that's the fact that the Gra was dominant in this discussion seems to really clearly be the case. The other question was, he dominant to the fact that, but still maybe Rabbeinu Tam is in effect in some circles, or is Rabbeinu Tam totally defeated, basically the halach, practically speaking. So, but like I said, the fact that nobody's doing the real Rabbeinu Tam is an indication that we don't really accept the Benetton.
Now this is probably more people understand this than that.
Right. Which is not so terrible, because first of all, the mitzvah of Tosefah Shabbos, Mitzvah Shabbos anyway. So to be, which impacts on things. As Rabbi Willard Greig basically puts, he says, Rabbi Willard says, practically speaking, so for Dinim Durabonon, so he says the Gra is dominant, and therefore the day ends according to the Gra's says, which means that according to Ferdinand Rabbanan, it means three stars based on Rias Habaki, right? That's the earlier stain. Ferdinand Daraisa, so it should be three stars that the average person can see. And then there's a din of three straight stars, Gimel Chomer Tzufim, which is a special Motzi Shabbos din because it's a din of Tosefah Shabbos. So the fact that once we've established that Shabbos ends at a certain time, if people have kind of random numbers after that to end, which was totally unmitic, and as Adir just mentioned about these compromise positions, so that's certainly understandable, especially in light of the din of Tosefah Shabbos Lacharisa. So we want Shabbos to end a little bit after when it starts. So the fact that different minhagim developed to decide when that's going to be is appropriate. Hi.
Do we know anything? Because I think the Rabbeinu Tam was like 12th century, is that true?
Rabbeinu Tam was Rashi's grandson. Rashi died in 1105.
Vilna Gaon was like 17th?
Vilna Gaon was born in 1720.
So do we know what happened like in the 500 years in between? Like if the Gra didn't have his sheet out?
Well, the way the Rav describes it, you know, the Rav gives you the impression that really Rabbeinu Tam was dominant throughout a lot of history.
Ah, really?
So the way it sounds like.
Yeah.
He says that, he describes that the Rav writes in the Year of the Yahrzeit Shirim, that most of the Rishonim that we know about who dealt with this followed Rabbeinu Tam, and it was passing like that in Shulchan Aruch. And even the Ramah didn't disagree, I'm just paraphrasing from what he writes here. And the earliest we see people starting to disagree a little bit was the Shach that we mentioned in Hilchas Milah, who was based in Maram Alashkar, who understood that the Rif and the Rambam and the Rush disagreed. And then the one who really came and established the halacha in a different direction was the Gra, who came in. That's the way the Rav. I'm just basically paraphrasing from what the Rav writes here. In any case, there are a number of wonderful svarim that really go through a lot of the historical details. I don't have access to them here, but back on the East Coast, we have many svarim that really go through historically what the minig was where. And there are some that really say, in this city, here's what they did. And there were a lot of Rabbeinu Tams going around, even in recent generations, even Lakula. And that's a lengthy discussion to go through all the historical evidence, and there are svarim that have a lot of detailed information about this. And take a look.
I think,
Lakula, say 144 minutes to start Shabbos. And
using that number as a riot, as it tells that nobody holds up to being tongue. Yet those towns that were Kabul Shabbos
late, they have that type of extreme of being a town. Historically, when people were holding like Rabbeinu Tam Lakula, did anybody hold to that extent? It's a good question.
If not,
I have no idea. I would recommend the various farms. There's a Sefer by Rabbi Danish, and there's a Rabbi Harfinus, a Sefer Yisrael Bahazman. I think especially Rabbi Danish's Sefer, which is called Zmanei Hayom, something like that, or Hilchos Man, I forgot what it's called, but Rabbi Danish's Sefer, he goes through every town, what the minig was. You could take a look there. I don't have this farm here. But he really goes. Sorry? Come to New York or the YU Library, you'll find all this farm there and many others. But just we're about out of time, so there's really just one more point to finish up. So keep in mind that there's a Lachumra aspect to the Gra as well. I mean, even as far as Motu Shabbos is concerned, as far as anything is concerned, that according to the Gra and the Gaonim, so right after Shkia is Ben Hashmashas. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, so Ben Hashmashas doesn't start until second Shkia. And from the first Shkia and 58 and a half minutes later, or if you're going to say it's 22 and a half minute mil, you know, it's an hour and a half, whatever it is later, so all that time is Vadayom. Now Rav Moshe writes, Akula, in this Tshuva, that during the time of Bein Hashmashos of the Gra, so you can be makel on things because of Sfeik Sveika. Because since Bein Hashmashos has the status of Safek, and since it's only a Safek if it's Bein Hashmashos yet, because the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say it's even Bein Hashmashos, Rabbeinu Tam says it's Vadayom, so therefore you can make a Sfeik Sveika in that time and be makel. Rabbeinu. But it's going to come out, and therefore, by Willis, Roy Willis points out, it's going to come out that you could also be machmir during Rabbeinu Tam's Bein Hashmashas, because the suffix of that's Bein Hashmashas, and therefore you could also say a Sveik Sveika, and you're going to totally uproot the whole din of Bein Hashmashas of Sveika L'chumra. The whole din is not going to exist anymore. And you're going to get into Tartar Asasri issues, and etc. So, therefore, but Willick says, according to him, it's not a problem, because according to him, it's not really a suffix l'halacha anymore, because since he assumes that the Gra is the dominant opinion pretty absolutely, so therefore, we don't have the right to be misyachis to this period of time as a suffix. So therefore, during the Gra's Bein Hashmashos, it's just straight Bein Hashmashos, it's not a suffix Bein Hashmashos, it's Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos has a din suffix of which we're machmeran, for the most part. And we don't have to worry, or we don't worry the kula, so to speak, of a sveik sveika, because it's not considered a suffix for us, because the Gra's opinion is basically dominant. How does all this relate to Tisha B'Av? That's a plug for tonight's discussion. Come to tonight's discussion of Tisha B'Av upstairs, over there. So then we'll discuss a little bit how Bein Hashmashos relates to Tisha B'Av. And other Tisha B'Av in Yonim. David. He's saying that basically, I mean, how it plays out in different details, you could look at the longer tshuva. He's basically saying we have a right to assume a rule of sfeik sveiko lakula during this time because of the safek Rabbeinu Tam in the Gra. And Rabbi Willick says he doesn't think that that's practically true, because he doesn't think we have a right to relate to this time as a safek Bein Hashmashos because of that machlokas. The Bein Hashmashos has its own sfeik status, safek status, but to say it's a safek on top of the safek because we don't know what Bein Hashmashos is, that we don't have the right to do, because we're basically, even though those of us who are machmir are still basically assuming that the Gra is the dominant view. Sean? Magen Avraham is quoting this Tosus. And Tosus is, the Tosus in Brachas is anonymous. But, Alos and Shkia don't have any relation to each other. Tash is counting Alos to Tseis, yeah. Right, well, the Gra's time comes out later, so that's most of us do rely. I think normal accounts, the accounts will tell you, so it's my creation. I think for the most part they're telling you the growth time, the later time. Which again will work out with Shita Seinu, that if we hold by the Groah for bringing in Shabbos and for bringing out Shabbos, so we hold by the Groah and Kriya Shema also. But it doesn't hurt to be Machma for Magen Avraham's time if you can. But I think the standard time. Right, it would be the flip side of it. Basically the same idea. Sounds good to me. I mean, it's maybe a kedai chumra, but the fact is, he's saying as far as halacha is concerned, that it basically the gra is dominance. If you want to assume anything cool out of it, you know, then that's going to be shver. And as far as if you want to be machmir, so then he recommends here in the end, like Ramosha's Rabbeinu Tam, which is 50 minutes. You know, not 144 minutes or even 72 minutes.
How does that impact the show?
I don't know, how the 50 minutes vary from month to month, I'm not sure.
Are you going to count says, really, or are you going to, you know, based on
count says for what?
For
if you're machmir like a Rabbeinu Tam.
If you're going to say we're going to figure out, let's say, bugging out for a Rabbeinu Tam Shita for a Shabbos Manios, you're going to figure out based on the end of those four meals or when it's three stars are out.
Sounds like, according to Rabbeinu Tam, as we take it, Stam, I would assume until 72 mil. It's Rav Moshe and the Bir Halacha are telling us, Chiddush, that they would acknowledge that at that point, then you stop doing malacha. Right, so that's a good question. How does that vague status then come in and affect our Shabbos Manias? It's hard to determine what they would say because we don't have enough information in front of us. But Lagabe, if we're assuming the growth dominance, it's not going to matter anyway, because then assuming that we're dealing with Shkia, which is a more absolute. What time is what? So, according to my palm pilot, and I'm not going to take your time now to figure out everything, but according to that, it says later Shema 9:29 in Los Angeles. Okay. Anyway, Matt.
Rabbi Willard once commented that as he's really going to see the sun and say it's not cold enough. So it's Magen Avraham in huge letters, and the Groah in little tiny letters in the corner. In America, you go see the Groah in huge letters, and Magen Avraham in little tiny letters.
That indicates something about what the minig is. Okay, so fine. So, Adkan's.